This is the Wonder Health Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter, and each Sunday I am so excited to talk to game changers, transformational leaders, and functional health and wellness experts who inspire us to light up our lives so that we can go out and light up this world. You may find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U. Wonder Health presents Gut Check Summit, the legit guide to how your gut health affects everything, April the 6th, 2019 in Fort Collins, Colorado. From now until February the 15th, take part in the early bird special of $169. You may register and learn more at wonderhealth.com, and that is Wonder with a U. Good morning and welcome to the Wonder Life Podcast. I'm Andrea Ritter, and today I'm with my very dear friend, Suzanne Carver.
Hi, honey.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. I'm really excited because we're going to talk all about the vagina today. Dun, dun, dun. The mysterious vag hole. And really, I mean, because it's like this thing that I feel like we don't talk about, and all of your work is really about helping people to figure out what's going on. And we start in the pelvic floor region. Is that correct? Okay. So tell us, tell everyone what the work is about and why, like why you're on this journey.
For me, this work is more about self-awareness and empowering us to have some kind of idea, or at least as much knowledge as possible about what's going on in this whole zip code of our body. It seems to be the most taboo, the most undiscovered, and the most quiet conversation there is in our health environment. So my goal, both for myself and when I get that knowledge to share it, is to learn as much as I can about what's happening in my body. How can I be more respectful to it, kinder to it, and also how can I continue to embrace a changing body?
Yeah. Yeah, because so, you're younger than me, but like it's kind of crazy like how all of a sudden I'm like 43 and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, it's surprising. I mean, how many women do we know can't actually name the parts of the vulva? I mean, that's actually quite huge to be able to look at something that you've been walking around with for all of your life and have no idea what it is and what its functionality is. And how to also examine yourself and see, is this normal? Like we talk about a breast exam and we've gotten really comfortable with that, but what about your vagina? What about your vulva? What about your whole pelvis? And when it's uncomfortable, to not feel ashamed to ask questions.
Yeah.
So that's my goal.
Well, and I think that you bring up a great point. Like, we aren't even trained to ask questions. It's like, okay, well, what we know is, first of all, if we go back in time, and this is not to shame anyone or whatever, but we've had to come up with alternative names for our genitalia, whether that's a male or a female.
Oh, the one I grew up with was great.
What was it?
Tootie Whacker.
Excuse me?
The female was the Tootie Whacker and the male was the Tally Whacker. That's great. That's awesome.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that I called it anything. It's just like, that which shall not be named.
That which shall not
but
be
no
named.
But no one said anything about it.
And now there's actually some great information out that talks about, as we're raising children now, to go ahead and call it what it is. This empowers them to have more clarity about their body. And also, say there's a moment of inappropriate touch. We know what that is. Like, yes,
right.
This man
touched me. Get off of my tallywhacker.
What is that? Like, there's a unicorn somewhere?
Or is that like what you use to like clean up your yard?
I imagine it is something like a horse whip with that, like maybe has glitter gleaming from it.
At least
so
it has glitter on the whip.
Yeah, so.
So this area of our life, so we may have grown up calling it something different than what it actually is, not calling it anything at all, you know, or being shameful to even like have a conversation about it. And so then we get into all this other stuff about maybe different experiences mm-hmm. and what those have then done to us cellularly or what's like in our memory. So what led you to do this? Like what led you to your vagina?
What led me to my vagina? I had found it before, just to make sure we all know, but not fully embodied it. So my story goes something like this, raised by a man. And when the day came that I started my ladies' holiday, which is what I call menstruation, because I think we should all pause for a moment and experience that change and be kind to our body through so much shifting. So the day came that I started my cycle, and my father was pretty petrified and gave me a couple hundred dollars to go to the store to get products. And we all know what they cost. So I kind of milked that one for a little bit. So it was just not having any information and like reading the back of a tampon box or a pad box to figure out what's going on.
Girl,
exactly. And I did. So here I am, this young lady moving through life without some information about what's going on down there. And I wasn't alone. Yeah. I wasn't alone. We talked to girlfriends, and some of them had no idea either. But, you know, I ended up getting toxic shock as a teenager. I, of course, was then never talked to about sex as well. So sex was like a very scary thing for me, and it shouldn't be. We should, it should be a very joyful experience, a very intimate one as well. Or not, if that's your thing. And then I moved through life. I was never able to take birth control because I have, I get migraines, hormonal things. Some of us experience that. I ended up getting an IUD in the early 2010 time. And this is all very personal, but here we are. And my pelvic floor checked out. Not everyone responds that way. Everybody's body is different.
Right? And what do you mean? If we can back up, what is your pelvic floor? I'm not trying to derail, but like,
sure.
What is the pelvic floor? Where is it?
So let's talk about it as, and I love Tom Meyer's expression, zip code. So my pelvic floor, if we look at our hips, my pelvic floor could be starting at my psoas and going all the way through my abductors to the inner arch of my foot. But to be really central, my pelvic floor looks like the area within or behind, you know, vulva, vaginal canal, and these layers of muscles.
So that's the thing that moves, like when you...
So when you have a child,
yeah,
or even when you breathe, so breathing is so important to us, when our whole body breathes. So like even when I'm sitting here breathing and hopefully in good posture, as I breathe, my body fills with air, my lungs, my organs fill with air, they get heavy and they push into or they drop into the pelvic floor expands. Breathes all these beautiful muscles. And on the exhale, if we are not a reverse breather, the muscles then pull back up, hugging towards the midline. And there are, and I'm probably going to be wrong here, 18 to 21 muscles down there.
Okay. So your pelvic floor is down here, kind of at your root chakra, at the base of your...
So imagine your pelvis and your hips. So this beautiful basin, right?
Yeah.
Well, that basin has muscles throughout. Layered even.
Okay.
And that's where babies come through, right?
So you...
That's what sex happens with.
So you... Okay, so your IUD. So now we know where our pelvic floor is, just mm-hmm. for those of us who are not aware. So your pelvic floor goes out when you get the IUD.
So it was a couple years. I just had... my body told me numerous times, take this thing out. But I thought, no, I'm not going to listen. Sometimes we don't listen. We learn the hard way. So I learned the hard way. And I'm sharing that now. So my pelvic floor checked out. I became incontinent. Sex became unjoyful. It was not there. It checked out. It wasn't engaging.
Mm.
And I spent a couple years. I went on this journey. And I was really blessed. I ended up traveling to Costa Rica, met some great nurses there who had a lot of knowledge about the pelvic floor. We talked, we laughed, we cried. We had got shared jaw-dropping information, and that kind of set a fire. I'd always studied yoga and studied Mulabandha and all these like energetic presences in
mm-hmm,
the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden science came in. So I'm in Costa Rica studying there, met nurses, went back to Tennessee, actually still had the IUD at that time, had it taken out, flew all the way back to Tennessee to then hop back on a plane to go to India. And I studied there for a while and met some doulas and midwives and also other healers, pardon that expression, and just shared in knowledge. And it was really fascinating. And these women had so much more comfort around talking about the vagina, the vulva, the pelvic floor, and what's happening. So I started this like healing process. I started doing exercises. I started doing breath work. I started doing mantra work and color work and something I call the blood meditation. We can talk about that some other time. And then I ended up in Greece and I met some doctors from Austria and Germany who were doing pelvic floor work. It was kind of like the universe or God was like, I really want to just inundate you with information about this really sacred part of our body, right? The first thing that we look at when we come out of the womb. And I was lucky. I was so blessed. And I can't tell you how many times like a complete stranger and I would talk and they would be like an OBGYN from Poland.
Yeah.
It was literally everywhere I went. And fast forward, came back to the US and went back to school and started deep diving in, practiced and studied with Leslie Howard and traveled back to India to study with John Scott, who was really into female health. And then just anybody that could give me information, you know, PTs, doctors, self-study, and started working with patients on accident. I thought I was just helping. The next thing you know, I have people calling and they just were just happy to be able to talk about a part of our body that's not normal conversation, yet it should be.
Yeah, because, you know, we have these experiences with it. We have experiences in life. And then if there's something that's joyful that's happened or something that's traumatic that's happened that truly can shape our entire experience, mm-hmm. and we don't know how to talk about it, mm-hmm. What do you see, you know, what do you see as far as people coming to an awareness about their vagina, their pelvic floor? Is it like sex is not fun anymore or you maybe have had something like an IUD trauma, like that, where it's like there's some energetic thing that's occurred and you might not even know, like, what are you seeing? Like what it would be like something for people to think about with this whole notion, because this might be completely new.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you talked to me about the pelvic floor, you know, 6-8 months ago. And if I'd ever had any manual therapy or what do you call it? When
internal massage.
And I was like, I'm a really open person and I am uncomfortable with the thought of someone sticking their hands up there and massaging me.
Amazing.
You know? So, I mean, but I love that. I love the conversation because I never thought about it.
It's very therapeutic.
After I had my son, I like seriously did not want to look at this. I was like,
of course
oh,
not.
Dear
but
God.
You should. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Yes. Right? And look, it made that. Are you kidding me? Like, why is our shame? Why are you embarrassed? Why are we ashamed?
Yeah.
That we should be, my goal is to rationalize the conversation, or I'm sorry, normalize the conversation and get us to a place where we can move forward.
Yeah.
We're still stuck in being embarrassed about talking about this. I'm not going to go to Walmart and scream vagina on the top of my lungs, but I should
you
be able to.
Should.
I probably have, but I should be able to sit with girlfriends and be like, hey, I've noticed that when I laugh, my pants are wet. Like, what is that? Oh, that could be a number of things.
So some incontinence.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that could be from stress or urge. And that's a big conversation we can have some other time. Or maybe all of a sudden sex has gotten uncomfortable. You're like, well, what's going on? What's that?
Does that also include sex drive?
Oh yeah. Because a lot of times that's just energy. Right? Or
yeah.
Emotionality. You know, when I had incontinence, do you think I wanted to have sex? Do you think
I haven't had kids?
I've not had kids.
So that's interesting because mm-hmm. I have been peeing my pants for the last 9 years.
So I'm going to go back to gamut and then peeing my pants. So what I see, it runs the gamut. I have women who have diastasis after having children.
What's that mean?
Diastasis is where the abdominal wall separates.
Okay. You know? Oh, yeah.
I have women who, incontinent, or women who all of a sudden sex is uncomfortable. I've had one woman that she can't figure out why all of a sudden she's always dry. You know, I have one woman who is uncomfortable when she sits. I have one woman who has lichen sclerosis, and I'm helping her feel comfortable with herself. It's a disease that affects a lot of women that we should learn how to self-check for, right? Self-awareness. But it really does run the gamut, you know, and often
we typically find ourselves in a place of discomfort while they're mentally or physically and going, okay, let's address.
Or I'm discharging a lot. Okay, what's your diet like?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What are your daily activities like? So it's awareness.
And how have you seen the work, whether it's for physical or emotional or mental or just out of curiosity, how do you see the journey working out for people? So whether, no matter what my intention is when I'm on the journey or why I'm coming to see you or going to a workshop or something like that, what are you seeing as a result within people after?
It's actually really great. They're not embarrassed anymore. They're not ashamed. And they realize that they actually can help themselves. And there's options besides going to take a pill or have a surgery. Let's explore the options, just like going to the gym versus having liposuction.
Right.
Before going there.
Right.
They know they have options. They also realize, oh my gosh, there's so much I didn't know. Like how my posture even affects my pelvic floor. How my exercise, the types of exercise, how I move my body affects my pelvic floor. And now I have to look at that differently. And I'm trying to figure out how to say this properly, but in a nutshell, we all are very different. Look at us. There is really nothing that's exactly the same. A general structure, yeah. Organs, maybe.
Right.
I might even be an alien. Yeah, you could be an alien.
And we don't have certain things.
The way you move your body will look different.
Yeah.
And it might even look different because of children, because of structurally how you're built. So how do you move with respect to your body? But even in a yoga practice, like I'm about to go teach a class on how to modify for pelvic floor dysfunction. If you have prolapse, your practice looks different.
And what's prolapse?
Prolapse is you have a prolapse of the bladder or uterus where the bladder or the uterus starts to drop into the vaginal canal.
Oh.
And that could be a number of reasons. For me, and I've amended it, is I am hypermobile. My pelvic floor is very strong. I was the guinea pig for a PT team while they all put their headlights on and tested their diagnosis skills. And they were all scratching their heads. I've never had children, but could fire all the quadrants, all the areas of my vaginal canal quite strong, or pelvic floor, whatever you want to call it, whatever you feel comfortable calling it. And we're sitting there scratching our heads. No children, super strong, can't engage. She's hypermobile. So all the connected tissue around my pelvic floor muscles allow softness in and those organs to drop a bit into the vaginal canal. So I have to work even harder to strengthen my pelvic floor. Now, I want to approach pelvic floor as, if you were a scientist, more as a physicist and not, say, a biologist. And these are open-ended questions that we're welcome to have challenged, and the information is going to continue to evolve. We're in uncharted territory here.
Yeah.
I have anatomy apps and books and things like that, and the last thing to be added is the female pelvic floor.
Oh, wow.
I think it was NPR, BBC, I've got it on my website somewhere, that put out a great article, and it said some of the two last frontiers in the medical industry are neuroscience and pelvic floor.
Isn't that fascinating?
Because we also have looked at bodies dissected, right? Not in working form, or I mean, we have to some degree. And those muscles change when there's some life in them.
Yeah.
So we went from thinking this was this huge canopy, and maybe it's actually not. Maybe it's
own microbiome. It's own universe.
It is definitely its own universe.
So, it's fascinating, and it's like very enlightening, and you know, for a regular old person, it's like, what in the world is going on down there? So I think that like a lot of women, you know, probably my age, I'm talking about my friends, not myself.
Yeah. I'm
asking for a friend. So, I mean, whatever, I'm an open book. So I was born with a strong sex drive. And then, you know, as life has gone on and relationships have happened, and I had so much fun exploring all that, and then getting married and having children and all of that, and 43, hormonal stuff going on, how do you address someone? Obviously, we're not going to do an exam right now or whatever, the massage, but like, you know, how do you like address women with like sort of this decline in their maybe it's like a combo of like sex drive and like sensuality, because we carry all this mental stuff. Like what, cause I think that this could be like, sure, you know, I pee on myself and that's fine too. But it's like, sex is so important, and it's so important to who we are as people, and to enjoy and to feel good about it, empowered in it, in that process of being a sexual being. How do you go about helping people to reclaim that?
Oh gosh, it depends on the person. It's always the person. Like, so I mean, first there would be some sort of, where are you at right now? What else is going on in your life? Because a lot of what we do, and I've experienced this recently recovering from an injury, is somewhat file away whatever's going on in life into an area, pardon me, an area in the body.
So energetically,
for us women, a lot of times we tend to file everything away into this area.
It's a file cabinet.
Yeah. Like people talk about, oh, hips are the storage sheds. Well, what are the hips connected to?
Right. And if you think about this, your root chakra.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to go somewhere. And I'm sure for different people, maybe it's the liver, maybe it's the heart. You know, people talk about, you know, heartbreaking things, or, you know, because some, interesting.
And think about the weight of the world. It's the weight of the world on you. So I feel like, you know, here we have this beautiful area of the body that both things flow in and out of, which we as women are always, our awareness is always brought here. Right.
Well, how many times do you go to the bathroom? You get to touch that thing.
Or how many times, you know, are you like, you're just aware. What's going on down here?
Or not aware.
So doesn't it make sense that often that this is the place that takes the biggest impact?
Mm-hmm.
That we might file things away or just completely altogether disconnect from?
Mm.
That's heartbreaking, but it's true more times than not. And again, like what I said earlier, when you first come out and you enter this world, where do people often look first?
Yeah. What are you?
Eyes up top.
Yeah.
I always think when someone says eyes up top, when they're endowed, when God's gifted them, I'm always thinking that they actually meant down there, because that's is the first place that we focused our energy on. Right?
Is there research that you know about, and this is not to put you on the spot, but like that talks about the correlation between our mental health and our vaginal health and energy like that flows? I mean, we're doing this microbiome summit. There's all this stuff that's coming out. It's kind of like the pelvic floor, which is, you know, all this stuff coming out about the gut microbiome and how we have these access points. Obviously, this whole body is connected.
Mm-hmm.
Is there information that you know?
Oh, gosh, I think there's a ton of information. And I think what it boils down to is we are one big, beautiful machine with a lot of zip codes, landmarks, and we need everything to work together.
Yeah.
I mean, the state of your pelvic floor is even indirectly affected by your jaw.
Wow.
And think about posture and breath. If the whole of the body needs to breathe to stay in homeostasis, and you're someone who tucks all the time when you sit, you've just cut off flow of air there. And this looks like a posture to me that says, I'm defeated.
Yeah.
So am I defeated here and here? Then the rest of my body is taking a beating. So we are one beautiful, elegant machine with all these little galaxies throughout.
Yeah.
So it's a, when we say whole body, it is a whole embodiment. A healthy relationship with everywhere but here, you're still missing out.
Yeah.
And it's not about great sex. That's just a really awesome byproduct.
Yeah.
Of being a little aware and a little in love with yourself. And also accepting of a changing body, right? We shift constantly. And how do we embrace that? How do we help young women embrace that?
How do we help young women embrace that?
Talk about it.
Yep.
Make it less of a taboo, shameful, judgmental conversation.
So for people, you know, and men too, like who want to understand, like what...
Men have just as many as it... Well, men have issues just like us.
Yeah, God bless them.
God bless them for sure.
So if I'm just starting this journey of... figuring out
mm-hmm.
what's going on in my file cabinet.
In your file cabinet.
You know, where could I start?
Where could you start? That's a great question. Just depends on what your goals are. So typically when someone calls me, and it runs the gamut, sometimes people, I had a lady who's like, I'm going to have my first child soon. And I just want some help prepping for that. She lived in a rural area, so she came to see me, and we talked about self-massage to prepare for exit, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then also what movement could look like for her to be supportive, you know? And then, you know, I just helped her prep for childbirth, essentially.
That's so cool.
You know, and kind of explained to her, like, at some point we need to stop working on strengthening the pelvic floor and also focus on softening, you know, C-sections are on high.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So be mindful of how you treat that area of your body during pregnancy.
Yeah.
So that you can experience that. So a lot of times people come see me, we will do a consult to see what's going on. And if I can't talk you into doing a self-examination, I'll refer you to a pelvic floor therapist who can do an evaluation of your pelvic floor. That's if I can get you there.
Now, what would a self-exam look like?
Self-exam would look like...
Or feel like, if you will.
Well, self-exam for yourself would look like you, one, getting out the lovely mirror.
The mirror!
The mirror! I like a hand mirror, and I've painted a little crown on the corner.
Cute.
And I'm looking down there, and I'm checking myself out to see if there's any discoloration, patchiness.
Well, what color should it be?
Well,
pink.
Well,
we're all different.
We're all different abnormalities. And that's a big conversation. So we can look at that. Just things to be aware of. That way, like, oh, it's time for me to go get an exam. And then it's noticing how the pelvic floor breathes. And that's also a big conversation.
Breathe.
Oh, whole
like,
body
so
breathes.
You breathe. How is it?
How does it move? And then I would have you do a palpation exam, which would be inserting your fingers, lock the door in your bedroom. It can go really south really fast.
Now, am I laying down when I'm doing that, or can I like sit on the toilet? And
you know, it just depends on the person. So yeah. I'll walk them through on how to give a self-exam.
Okay.
And we are palpating the vaginal canal, noticing anything, noticing... We went really deep in this podcast, didn't we? So noticing differences, you know, sensations, Is it a sensation of tenderness in the skin, like a chemical burn or something like that? Just noticing, getting familiar with it.
Yeah.
Right? And then also,
it's like a new friend.
It's a new friend.
It's like you've had
this friend a long time. You've just been keeping them at bay. Yeah. Like, you know, you've been hanging out. It's time for me to like go have
coffee with your vagina.
Or a glass of wine.
Oh, why?
Just wash. And then, you know, testing out the tonicity of the muscles. So again, it's a pretty big conversation, and I usually will I'm not going to show you, but talk you through it. And we have some diagrams, and we, you know, what are we looking for, and take some notes. You can also ascertain a bit by movement.
Okay.
To see, oh, like I noticed this over here when I do that. And there's some external massage as well. So if the patient's willing to go all in, then we can move from there. And often it's just like, okay, great. Now, can I get you to do some self-massage to maybe soften these muscles? And walking through that and using different devices if they need to. And then, or is it time to go get internal work done if you're super hypertonic, which is very uncomfortable for a lot of women.
What is hypertonic?
Hypertonic means overly tight. And if you have 18 or so muscles down there, just imagine like your bicep being too tight for your neck. And you're coming to see me for some soft tissue therapy. You need to treat it just like any other muscle in the body.
Yeah.
Maybe even better. Better. Let's just go ahead and say better.
Cool.
So there's a whole ton of stuff there.
This is game changing.
Pretty much.
Life changing.
And I want to say, this is not me breaking any molds. I don't remember what philosopher this is. This is so horrible that I can't. But I am just taking the information that I've been blessed with and, you know, gone and traveled and trained, and I'm moving forward with it and seeing how can I help my community of women.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has a purpose, and this is your journey.
And then any other, like diving in with education as much as I possibly can. Because again, this is a big conversation that we're still trying to figure out even where to go with.
Yeah.
You know,
but let's talk about it to find out.
Let's get comfortable.
Let's
get comfortable with it.
This has been so cool. I hope you'll come back because there are so many layers to this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yes.
Layers. Down there.
I think that it would be really cool to have you back to really address some stuff. And I think what we could do is even like a really neat round table with women of different ages and having this conversation.
Cool.
Because we need to be talking about it. My daughter's 9. We use the word vagina.
Good.
And
applaud you.
With my kids, you know, and like last night at dinner, I don't know what we were talking about, but my kids, we were talking about like babies being born, or I don't even know what it was. And I was like, well, let me remind you where children, because they said something about a butt. Children love to talk about butts.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it felt
like... A lot
like
of people like to talk about butts. I talk about butts. You got to have a smart ass to have a smart pelvic floor.
Oh. It all works together. Oh, that'll be our next, like one of our next. So I say, it felt like my son, it really felt like he came out of my butt. I mean, and apparently that's back labor. And the kids were like, oh my God. And I was like, but you know where
babies
really...
Oh, the things they don't tell you until you actually get there to push a pretty one out.
I know. I was
or
like,
try.
Oh, terrible. It was like so not fun. And so I said, you know where babies really come out of? They're like, we know. Like they didn't want me to say it. Mm-hmm. So they were like screaming for me not to say it. And there was silence for 2 seconds. And I yelled, vagina. And we all like cracked up because it's like, we are going to talk about the glory of this thing. We're going to talk about like that it's okay to touch it and enjoy it. And you just need to do that in your room, like not even here on the couch. And like, that's a whole other conversation. We have 5 more podcasts.
Get a mirror.
But it's so great.
Well, there's a great kids comic book out. You can go to my website to find it. It's actually out of India. And it was a really great project, but it's called Menstrupedia.
Oh,
and
cute.
It's literally a comic book. And they've done a great job about talking about menstruation and all of these topics in a really lighthearted, awesome way.
It's a beautiful thing. Like, get right with yourself, whether you have kids or not, and then like figure out what your story is and get comfortable with it for yourself. And if you do have kids, I do, and this is clearly a judgment, so excuse me, but it's like, I do feel like in order to help create these people who have an understanding and openness and of self-awareness and self-love, like, we have to talk about it. And
not shamefully.
No, it's awesome.
I mean, it's even, I mean, as I've been practicing yoga, I've been a student of yoga for over 20 years now, and I even, my menstruation and my cycle are relevant in my daily, in my life. I take ladies' holiday for the first 2 days of my period.
I like that. You go like to Paris or...
In my mind. Mostly it's Hawaii. It's just relaxing. Like,
yeah.
Mini staycation in my body. Like, I'm not going to go upside down while blood is traveling outside towards the outside through my vaginal canal. And then go upside down and have it just go right back in. Mm-hmm. After it's touched all those pathogens and things in the outer layer.
There's
things I wish I'd have known 10 years ago. That's only something I've embraced in my practice in the last 8 years. And then I'm not wearing tampons anymore. I know that they say organic, but how many chemicals do they allow in organic products?
Yeah.
Notice your body, feel your body moving, you know. Just switching from a tampon to a pad is challenging. Most women feel gross.
Mm-hmm. We've been programmed.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Or we feel like we have to muscle through our period because we have to prove ourselves. I don't have to prove anything. Just shedded the lining of my uterus. I'm cool. I'm going to go eat some popcorn and watch a movie.
I love it.
I'm not going to beat myself up to keep up with someone and shock my body and make my cycle harder.
Yeah.
I'm going to embrace it.
Yes.
In India, they call it ladies' holiday. You take ladies' holiday.
I love that.
You know, other cultures. What are you trying to keep up with?
I love it.
I get to keep up with myself and my changing body. That's a full-time job.
Amen. Amen. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love this. This is so great. This is brilliant. Brilliant information.
Well, and keep in mind, I'm still learning and I'm okay with being questioned and challenged. Let's be respectful and graceful for one another. And I'll just keep trying to learn as much as I can and see how I can share it. And
I love that. If people want to get a hold of you or learn more, do you have a website?
SuzanneCarver.com and TheEmpoweredPelvis.com.
The Empowered Pelvis. Well, we will certainly see more of you, hear more from you. You're going to come to the summit and mm-hmm. do something amazing in April, which is great, and talk about the microbiome in the vagina, which is a whole deeper conversation.
So deep.
Which is so great. So Empowered Pelvis, is it The Empowered Pelvis?
Just Empowered Pelvis.
EmpoweredPelvis.com, SuzanneCarver.com. She is amazing and wonderful.
Thank
and so me. Grateful that you've been here. And we'll see you
and
soon.
And thank you. This is not, you know, it's a taboo conversation for some people, and it's also not comfortable, and it's also a door that they're not willing to walk through. So I really applaud you too for helping other women feel more comfortable talking about what's going on.
Shree.
The little universe down there.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thanks, darling.
Thank you.
This has been the Wonder Life podcast, and we just look forward to seeing you the next time. So tune in.